What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. My name is Zach Clinton. I'll be your host, and as we continue to grow, I'll have friends joining me each week to interview some of the leading experts in the fields of motivational speaking, mental health, ministry, and even sports. Our goal is to instill hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today, and our prayer is that after each episode, you'd be more equipped and encouraged to look, love, and live more like Christ from the inside out. That's our definition of what it means to be built different. So I hope you're ready. You better buckle up. Let's roll. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. You guys, I am so excited for today's episode. But before we dive in and I introduce you to our guests today, I just wanted to say up front, I hope you guys had an amazing and just a blessed Easter holiday. You know, what a time it is to come in celebration of all that God has done for us. We think back as we, you know, just reflected on Good Friday and how God paid the death on a cross for us, the substitutionary death on the cross to defeat sin, just hanging there. It wasn't the nails that held him there. Guys, it was his love for each and every one of us. And then 3 days later, after he was buried and put in the tomb, he rose again, not only then defeating sin, but then defeating death and resurrecting from the grave, helping us understand that he is still alive, he is still in control, and that he is still doing something good in the midst of each and every one of us. Guys, we serve the Almighty God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the God who loves, who cares, who pursues, who restores, and who redeems. And the good news, the great news, is that if we just invite him in, if we ask him to be the Lord and the Savior of our lives, if we believe in him and we ask him for the forgiveness of our sins, that he gives that gift so freely and with such grace and mercy. It says in his word that he doesn't withhold anything good from his children. You guys, we can all be a child of the King. And then we don't have to fight and scratch and claw for victory. My friends, we get the opportunity of fighting from a place of victory. That's how good our God is. You guys, my prayer is that each and every day, and just during this season of Easter, and as we just celebrated Easter Sunday and the holiday, you guys, that it's more than a holiday. It's a lifestyle. It's being able to understand that I am a child of God. It's my identity. It's who I am. And I'm so incredibly thankful for what God has done. And because of what he has already done, my friends, even if he does nothing else, he has already done enough. That's my prayer, that each and every one of you guys know that today. But you guys, as we enter into a new episode with two incredible guests that I'm about to introduce you to, today's topic is about really change and grief and loss, and how do we navigate the complexities of it? How do we overcome it? How do we manage some of the emotions in the midst of it? Guys, this is such an insightful conversation. Whether, you know, you've lost a loved one, whether it's the loss of a job, whatever the change looks like in your life, God is still in control, and there are things that we can begin doing to be able to understand how we can navigate our way through it. Joining us today is Pastor Chuck and Miss Ashley Elliott. They are a power couple, let me tell you that. They're frequent conference speakers, they're frequent workshop leaders, they're authors, and these guys just do amazing, just kingdom work. Chuck is the pastor at Bethel Church in Evansville, Indiana, and Miss Ashley is a licensed counselor. She also helps serve alongside of the church. She's a worship leader. You guys, they are on fire for the Lord, and they are so much fun just to glean wisdom and insight and really their knowledge from. And so today's topic is really going to be diving into a new resource that I'll introduce you guys here shortly, but it's a new book that's coming out this August. It's titled, I Used to Be Blank. Right? You can fill in the blank with whatever that looks like. So I used to be, and then it helps us how to navigate large and small losses in life and find our path forward. You guys, nobody wants to be stuck in life. Nobody, right? Everybody has the desire for positive and healthy change. But oftentimes when life delivers, you know, the knockout blow or the punch that sends us to the canvas of the ring in life, we get stuck there. And sometimes, right, we don't lack the desire to get back up. We just maybe don't understand how to stand, how to get back up, how to fight back, how to fight the good fight of faith when it seems like all hope is lost. My prayer is that in and throughout today's episode, that you would just have some hope and some encouragement and some motivation that is just revitalized within your spirit, within your soul, within your heart, within your mind, and understanding that you are never out of this fight and that there are things that you can do to navigate your way through in a healthy way. So you guys, as you listen to this episode, don't be afraid to take notes, whether those are mental notes, whether those are notes in the notes app on your phone or a piece of paper old school. That's what I was doing in and throughout the entire episode. But I'm telling you guys, you'll glean some incredible wisdom from these two. And so without further ado, let me introduce you to my friends, Pastor Chuck and Miss Ashley Elliott. Pastor Chuck and Miss Ashley, thank you guys so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're really excited to hang out with you for a little bit.
Yep, excited.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. You guys, we love you here at the American Association of Christian Counselors. We really do. You guys are so busy. You guys are always doing such incredible kingdom work. I'm going to give you guys a brief introduction for a second. Your content creators who have partnered with YouVersion, Right Now Media, an array of other national organizations, your frequent speakers, popular workshop leaders and authors who love equipping and helping others rebuild relational success. And then on top of that, Chuck, you're a pastor at Bethel Church in Evansville, Indiana. Ashley, you're a licensed counselor. You guys serve as advisory board members for us here at AACC with our International Christian Coaching Association. I cannot even begin to thank you guys for all that you do. And from all of us here at the AACC, we love and appreciate you guys more than you could possibly know. But what I want to say up front is I am so excited today to dive into just an incredibly new resource that you guys are going to be releasing this upcoming August, being your new book titled I Used to Be: How to Navigate Large and Small Losses in Life and Find Your Path Forward. Pastor Chuck and Ms. Ashley, just up front here, what was it, maybe within your story, maybe your testimonies or your experiences, that really prompted you both to even begin writing this book?
Yeah, so our story really came after we had our first two boys. So we have three boys now, but we had our first two boys, and then we faced recurrent miscarriage. And 2015, 16, and 17, we faced several losses, and we felt, you know, sometimes it was really hard. Sometimes we were able to just plow through and keep working, but we just struggled and we felt alone at times. We felt unseen. And then when we were talking to others, we found that other people felt a lot of those same things. And a lot of the resources that we had found sometimes felt hard to read whenever we were grieving. So I'm like, I have to listen to someone else's entire book of stories of their sad loss and all the things. And then maybe there weren't very many tips. So we decided we wanted to make some resources that would really make it about the individual. And that's what I do in counseling. I make it about the client and how they can get better. And I use tools and techniques to help them work through that process. So we hope that in the book, people don't feel like it's all about us the whole time, but it really is about them. And that's why we titled it, like, I used to be blank, and they can fill in the blank. Like, I used to be pregnant, I used to be employed, I used to be married, whatever it is that loss is, that they can identify what loss they've had, and then they can go through a mental health Bible-based process to find their path forward.
We found that our losses felt and looked different each time, and it opened our eyes in seeing how broad grief and loss really is. And that's why we allow people to put their situation into the book. And just in the first couple pages of the book, we let people know this is about you. This isn't us just lamenting about the hard things that we've gone through. Yes, we have some of that in there, and we're really raw and honest about breaks in relationship trust and all kinds of things that went on in our relationship as well that are really difficult to process. But we wanted people to know that this book's about you. This book's about you and you recognizing that your world has changed and your identity has been shaken. And we're going to help you to see how your world has changed and then figure out what does it look like for you to take your next step forward.
Yeah. And for us, it was different with each loss. So in the first loss, we were in the emergency room and I turned on a worship song and we prayed and we worshiped God. And in the second loss, I remember just having a hard time. Like, we were both ministry leaders. So he's a pastor full time and I serve alongside him. I also am a worship leader and teacher at the church. And so I was serving, but a lot of times people aren't pouring into us. So I found that it was just really hard to pour into
people. Felt alone sometimes.
Yeah. And I would feel like I just needed someone to ask me how I was, but I was in the habit of always being that counselor, always being that person that's there for other people. And people just didn't always ask because they didn't know what to say. And so I gained empathy over the years because I realized that I also don't always know what to say whenever I have friends that have faced loss. I don't want to bring it up if it's going to hurt them. And so sometimes I stay quiet. And so we reflected on that. We conversed and we talked with some other people who had faced loss and found a lot of those same things. But again, we found that even in our faith journey, that there were times where we worshiped and then there were times where we worshiped and we didn't feel God. And we're like, God, why do you feel so distant? And even for me, I mean, I would read my Bible. I don't think I missed a day reading my Bible through all this whole season, but it was hard some of those days. And I didn't always feel God. And I would say, Lord, like I am being faithful. And I feel like you won't even give me your presence. Like, that's all I'm asking for. I'm not even asking for a miracle. And sometimes that felt hard, but I have been so blessed by how God has used that testimony in some people's lives, even this week. But it has been over and over and over again. You're like, God is worthy before. God is worthy before we get what we want. And so even me sharing like, this is my story. It's a hard lesson. And people are like chewing on it and like, oh yeah, that's good. Cause sometimes we make it more about us. And so again, we do a lot of this in the book of like just sharing some of our struggles, but really posing questions and putting people out there to like think about their relationship with God, their relationship at work, their relationship with their family so that they can find their path forward.
And I think what's so impactful is you guys are already opening up quite a bit. Thank you so much for your vulnerability, but you guys are very vulnerable in and throughout the pages of this book, which is so powerful. I always tell people, you know, suppressing those emotions, it takes a strong person, but in my opinion, it takes an even stronger person to bring them to the forefront, to put them out there in authenticity and in vulnerability, just like you guys do. So that's something that can be incredibly impactful. And what I also love about the book is, like you're saying, it's not just maybe even the loss of a loved one. It could be like the loss of a career. It could be anything that creates this change that kind of threatens our identity, as you're saying, Pastor Chuck and Miss Ashley. And you know, one of the most powerful statements I've heard said that we have to become a winner at the fine art of losing. In other words, loss is inevitable in life, right? But it often overwhelms us. It can even threaten our identity, as we're talking about, of who we now are. And being on the front lines like you guys are on a daily basis, what have you guys both been seeing and really identifying, even within your book, as some of the major challenges or barriers or emotions that people face when they experience these seasons of grief and loss?
I see that people feel overwhelmed and numb almost at the same time, which feels like it's conflicting. People don't even understand that a lot of the things that they're experiencing could be grief or just the pain of loss because their life has changed. Job turnover and changes have been greater in these last couple of years than they ever have been in recorded history based on the Bureau of Labor Statistics. People are not knowing what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing with my life, my calling, my purpose, especially if they lost a job or a loved one during the pandemic. And whenever grief or loss shakes our identity, we're trying to figure out, God, who do you say that I am? Mm-hmm. Maybe they find out that they were holding on to something in their life that was actually an idol.
Yeah.
And that can be from wide ranges of things because they're so connected to their stuff or to their title or their position, or maybe it was an inappropriate relationship, and lots of different things have come to the surface. And I believe that a lot of those things were brewing anyways, but the more that we can do to help people recognize that if they're going to get really good at failing and get good at the vulnerability of recognizing what they're not good at, they can get stronger. And what most people do is they avoid their weak points and they avoid the difficult topics. And what we try to do is we try to help people to realize that when you lean in and you deal with those things, you get better than average. I don't want people to feel like they're just going for average. Whenever I meet with somebody for counseling or coaching or as a pastor or whatever else, I am not just trying to get you void of the major problems that are going to ruin your life and marriage. I'm trying to get you above average. I want you to have a life that you're proud of. I want you to feel like you have a vision with your spouse. So when we look at these things, it can be almost difficult to help people reframe and say, oh, we're not just going to look at the problem and just dissect that. Yes, we do that, but we're going to be future focused and we're going to talk about the life that you want to build.
And one of those major challenges, or kind of encompassing the major challenges, is that we get stuck in a negative space. Mm. So people isolate, they feel overwhelmed, like you shared, and it's that they're stuck in this negative space and they don't want to be there. No one wants to be stuck, but we don't know how to get out sometimes. And sometimes I do believe like God's a God of community, and that's why we have the body, and someone is the eye and someone is the foot, and we need people to sometimes pull us out. And that's the beauty of community. And that's part of what we try to accomplish, and helping people, not just seeing us as the community, but building community around them.
That's so good. That word stuck. You know, when I think of just even people that have come in and out of my counseling office throughout the years, a lot of people do come. Nobody wants to be, you know, stuck or going through a negative situation like you guys are saying, or adversity in the first place. They all want help and hope and healing. And that's why they're there in the first place, right? That's what they're always looking for. It's not the lack of desire. It's maybe the lack of understanding as to how to get out of that place, like you guys are mentioning. And I love that. And I think so many people too, in terms of, you know, grief and loss, we try to white knuckle our way through life, right? Like, we try to fight it on our own. I mean, we can do it. We preach a lot of independence here in our world and culture and society today. But in knowing those things, you know, what are you guys, what would you say are maybe some red flags to somebody out there listening that maybe they've experienced loss here recently and they have been struggling, but they haven't sought help? What are some ways in which, you know, we can begin discerning how our grief is really affecting us?
Yeah. One of the things that I see is people experience low frustration tolerance. And basically that is that they can't handle the frustrations that they ordinarily can. And I know for us, just on a good day, if we have a lot to do, our kids and their normal conversations will just stress us out. And so if you magnify that by adding grief or really hard, you know, relational struggles, we can't handle the expectation that a boss puts on us. Or when someone asks us, hey, do you want to go on vacation? You're like, no, I don't want to go on vacation. And it's not always personal. So we ask that question, like, maybe whenever someone explodes on you, it's not personal. Maybe they have something going on. But especially for us, if we are looking to say, do I need help? Is something wrong? Is this grief? If you experience a low frustration tolerance, maybe that is a sign that something is off. Maybe you need some self-care, some rest, you know, something there.
I share about this in the book. And I remember there was a moment right after I found out that my grandmother had died. And I was making breakfast and I was kind of just heating up the skillet and doing some things and thinking about how life changes. And I felt like I needed to cry in that moment. I felt like I needed to go there. And I had a decision to make. I remember this. Am I going to allow myself to feel these things and be sad and cry and feel like I'm weak in the middle of a kitchen when I'm supposed to be making breakfast? And it became real real to me right then that if I didn't go there, there was going to be a chance that I was going to be rude to my boys later, that I was maybe going to yell at them or go over the top, or I was going to be easily triggered. And it became really obvious that if I don't go there appropriately and I don't deal with the things that are making me upset and making me sad, in the name of being tough and strong, I'm not going to be the father that I need to be later. And I might snap on them, or I might not have the right response to Ashley later. And it's because I'm not dealing with my own issues.
Right.
And it just became more and more real to me. And I think that's what I try to talk to guys about, especially because I do a lot of coaching with everything from sexual integrity coaching to dealing with grief and different issues with men. And I find that when a lot of times that men are resistant to going there because they're worried it's going to make them weak. And I try to show them how much stronger they will be and how much more present they'll be, how much of a stronger husband and father they'll be when they deal with the things and go there and talk about the stuff they need to talk about.
That's so good, you guys. And it kind of prompts a question that just comes to my mind naturally. What happens when, you know, you're the one that maybe did the wrong or did the hurting that maybe caused the grief and the loss? Like, how do you help somebody through maybe the guilt or the shame process while also accompanying the grief and the loss throughout life?
Well, I can talk about that from a personal aspect a little bit as well. With the sexual integrity, it was just a little bit before Ashley and I were going to get married, and she found out that I had looked at pornography. And that was a major break in trust in our relationship. So it was something that I did to hurt her. It was something that I did that I violated the trust in the relationship. And I know that it has been a process, and it has been something that it's over 15 years ago, and I'm glad to say that I haven't looked at those things or done those things, but it still has an impact on our relationship. It still has something that can be a trigger. So coaching myself to be honest with her and being available to go there and answer the questions and knowing that she doesn't only view me through that lens now and having those type of open conversations, because a lot of times when we hurt somebody, we want to withdraw. because of guilt, because of shame. And if we don't talk about it, we can almost have this battle that I feel shameful and she can almost want to feel prideful because she didn't do anything wrong in that situation. And we take these turns being mean to each other when we really just need to get honest and talk about what's going on.
Mm, that's good. That's really good, you guys, because I think, you know, in helping people navigate that piece of, man, I did something, right? So taking responsibility for their actions, one, but then also taking responsibility for like the present moment and the future moving forward is also a key thing that I think is necessary as we navigate just the complexities of whether it's grief and loss or whether it's guilt and shame and so on and so forth. You know, guys, this is kind of where I feel like the interview takes a turn now, right? We've talked a lot about some of the hardships and how to maybe, you know, what grief looks like in our lives. But in the midst of the pain and the anguish and the questions that maybe so many people have, you guys identify and discuss several helpful tips and tools within your book that can really help equip so many of us as we process these things. And that being said, you know, would you guys both take some time to just kind of describe and define and discuss maybe the switch theory that you guys mentioned in and through your book, but also maybe just some other helpful examples of new skills that you guys have learned along the way that just help our listeners make a find and really find a new path forward?
Yeah. So we love getting to share resources with people. And so switch theory is something that I developed over a course of more than a decade at a university and sometimes whiteboarding on a whiteboard with students or in counseling sessions. And what I basically was noticing is it seems like people view their spouse, their friend, their family member, like two different ways. Sometimes they have this like positive space view of a person, even themselves. And then they have this negative space view. So in a positive space, we have positive thoughts, feelings, and behavior.
Yeah. And on the other side of that, in a negative space, you have negative thoughts, feelings, and behavior.
And we can go back and forth between this positive space multiple times in a day sometimes, but it can be, you know, months in a positive space. And then we get triggered and have an automatic switch to negative space. Like it was for us whenever I found out that he had been looking at pornography. This was like an automatic switch, like devastated. But then we tried to pull ourselves back. We prayed, like literally in that moment, I was on my knees and I did. I felt most connected to God probably in that moment than I had, did in my life, which gave me some compassion that I probably wouldn't have had on my own and helped us navigate it. But it was, yes, we were in a negative space, but we pulled ourselves back to a positive space using prayer, not using prayer in a manipulative way, but like trying to go to God in our desperation.
Yeah.
But this is something that we try to help people do, like identify, am I thinking like negative space thoughts? Sometimes whenever we think I'm not good enough, you're not good enough, whatever it is, these negative thoughts about ourselves or others, they're indicators that we're in a negative space and we can practice pulling ourselves, making a manual reset, helping our family, you know, we pull each other to that back to that positive space. And so we teach some strategies to do that. And we love getting to help people understand like, no, like if you're at home and you're isolating and it's because you don't really know that you can handle the things that people are going to say or ask. That's this negative space. And so how do we pull ourselves back to positive space? That might be saying, I got to ask one person like, hey, I'm really having a hard time. Would you come over and listen? Right? Being in a positive space doesn't mean it's butterflies and rainbow, but that we're trying to use that positive space behavior that doesn't come as naturally when we're in a negative space. So we've got to try to like pull ourselves at least partially toward that positive space. But I know that like our thoughts and our behaviors, a lot of that is very intangible. So when we're workshopping, we do a lot of, like we have worksheets and whiteboards and stuff that we try to help people grasp this. So that's just giving you a toe dipped in the water of switch theory.
And we see how the results of people not getting back to a positive space is them leaving. So let's say you like Zach and I, we have a relationship. And if something happens that we feel like as an unmet expectation, a break in trust, something happens. If we don't talk about it and we dwell on that, we continue to form like this residency in this negative space. And if we don't have a conversation about it, we're probably going to end the relationship.
Right.
So what we try to help people to do is whether it has to do with sex, money, marriage, friendship, your work environment, whenever you have an unmet expectation, this might be something that you need to have a conversation about so you can get back into a positive space. It doesn't mean that you're avoiding the issues. It actually means that you're dealing with what you need to deal with. And it takes some strength. It takes some emotional and relational fortitude to be able to go and to have these kind of conversations. But we see over and over again, When people do this, they have higher quality relationships in the workplace, in marriage, in parenting. If you're not avoiding the hard topics with your kiddos just because you're nervous about what's going to happen and you see them drifting away and you're like, I don't feel good about parenting. Well, what if I could have a conversation at week one instead of year five,
right,
about the issue? You can do a lot more good that way.
And we tend to feel like we're out of options when we get in the negative space. So part of the process that we go through, like helping people recognize there are patterns to our negative space and they might be unique to us, but some of the things that we hear people say is, I've tried everything. And so we get a little sarcastic and we're like, have you gone to Tahiti to have this conversation? Right? Did you get every counselor in your office or go to every counselor? Like, no, but that's how it feels. And so that's the negative space talking. And if we can pull ourselves back to like get that frontal part of our brain operating again, we can remember like, okay, this isn't the whole relationship, the whole person, but even us, like we go through this weekly and we use this theory and this work in our home and we do see that it makes a difference. And sometimes we can say, I'm not talking about it. And we'll go to bed and not talk. And like, no, we don't do that. And we don't have to do that. We can say, we can agree to disagree and not perfectly resolve everything in one night, but we are going to try to fight for a positive space. And it is possible to do. And we work through this with people. And it is so exciting to see people use the language and find that it is bringing them freedom in their relationships.
Man, you guys, that's so good. And I love those kind of just the imagery of thinking, as you guys are saying, the more we spend time in that negative space, it leads to withdrawal, or it leads to us drifting away from each other further and further. But it's those confrontations or those healthy conversations that help us fight back to stay within that positive space. That's so encouraging to me. I was taking notes over here. I hope our listeners are as well. But something you mentioned too, Miss Ashley, was just this idea that in the midst of, you know, challenge and difficulty and grief and loss, bringing other people in and seeking help, right? Having friends for the fire. That's how I always think of a community in general. But sometimes I believe people, they want nothing more to be comforting and they have great intentions, but sometimes they can just say the wrong things, right? Which can unknowingly trivialize our pain. So Ms. Ashley, being somebody, licensed counselor, you've helped numerous people navigate these seasons of life. What can we do really to help support our loved ones who are in the midst of these challenging times?
That's a great question. So asking ourselves, you know, when we're going to ask questions, like what's our motive? So we like to be curious. So if I'm going to ask a neighbor, you know, hey, how are you doing after your loss? Sometimes people will ask questions like, oh, how long were they sick? Or how far along were you? Or they ask things like, they're like curious questions, but it is almost as if they're trying to decide how much empathy that you deserve. And so if you try to just check yourself with any of the questions, you're like, why am I asking this? Is this because I'm nosy or I'm curious?
Am I being curious or comforting?
Yeah. And I want to try to be comforting because that's the role that I'm playing. And actually there's some freedom in it because then we don't have to ask as many detailed questions. We can just say, hey, is there anything that you need? Is there anything that you're thinking about doing? You know, so offering a scripture and offering a prayer, but also sometimes I think people will try to give spiritual answers. So I had people to say to me, like, at least you can have another baby, or God's got this. God's got an angel in heaven, you know, and I'm like, is that how it works? I'm not sure that it does.
So we went through all this so God could have another angel. It's like, it's a lot of complexities and almost people want to try to fix it. And if I were going to tell somebody some advice, it's like, you don't have to fix it because you can't fix it.
Yeah. And even in that situation, I feel like, again, the person trying to be the comforter is really trying to be spiritual. And if we just try not to be so spiritual, but try or see our being spiritual as like taking them to the altar of the Lord, let's pray, rather than me having to have a spiritual answer. Because oftentimes if I'm trying to have like the right thing to say, like God's got this, you know, it can make it feel like, you shouldn't feel sad because God's bigger. And yes, God is bigger. And it is so helpful for me to think of that. Mm. But if someone else is telling me, like, just think about how God is so big, like, just don't think about it. Like, that's telling them, like, stuff how you really feel and just feel the good things. And I believe that Jesus mourned, he cried, he grieved, and there was room at God's feet for both. And in that space, when we allow those feelings to come out, then God can help us, like, close up the wounds and heal. Whenever we just pretend we don't have a broken leg and walk on it, we're just creating more damage. And so I think sometimes that can happen.
So that's some of the don't do's. Some of the things you should do is you should reach out to people like a month later, three months later. Yes. Later on, like make a reminder, put a calendar appointment in your phone for a couple months later after you go to that funeral and check on that person. Because you know what it is? It's a sprint. They have people calling them, bringing them food, all kinds of things. And this is just for the death of a loved one, but just use it as a case study, an example for this. Like they have a rush of attention and then they feel like they have a quiet house that feels silent. I've seen that time and time again from someone who's been widowed or a widower. And it's just, it's this sad that comes afterwards. And after someone loses a little one through miscarriage like we have, or they go through a divorce or they lose a job, it's okay to ask them how they're doing a ways after that.
Right.
And check on them.
And I think, you know, just in hearing both of your answers, I always say that when I've gone through hard times in my own life and I've experienced some grief and loss, I care more about receiving somebody's presence than their perspective. You know what I mean?
Like, That's really good.
I don't really need the answers. Sometimes I just want to know that I'm not alone and that you're there for me, or you're in my corner, like you're saying, Pastor Chuck. And oftentimes I think we can be quick, like you're saying too, Miss Ashley, to give these answers or to provide feedback, you know, from our perspective. And it's like, man, what can I offer? How can I reflect? Just do some self-reflection of, you know, what did I need in that moment? Sometimes I just needed somebody to listen. I just needed somebody to reach out to me to let me know that they were thinking about me or they were praying for me in that moment. And so I appreciate that feedback because it can be super helpful to sometimes not even have to say anything because we don't have all the answers. You know what I mean? Like we really don't. God's the one that produces the change at the end of the day, and we just get to be conduits through which we can encourage others in the midst of that change process. And so I appreciate that. And spiritually speaking, you know, when I think about grief and loss, it can be easy. There may be a listener out there today who's even just angry with God, right? They're wrestling with God. It's like, God, if you're really as loving as they say you are, why would you allow something like this, something bad to happen to somebody so good, right? That's the kind of the big questions that a lot of people begin asking. And it's in these moments that I believe many of us desperately want to hear God's comforting voice or response, as you guys were mentioning earlier, but sometimes it just seems silent. Pastor Chuck, what encouragement do you have for our listeners out there today regarding just the goodness and the faithfulness and the character of our Heavenly Father, even in the midst of our pain?
Even when we're hurting, he still wants us to draw close to him. Even when he feels like he's distanced, he still wants us to call out to him. In Psalm 18:6, I have this. It's one of the verses I like. I called to the Lord in my distress, and I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Like he hears us. Even though he's in his temple and he's far off, he empathizes with us. And Jesus felt so many of the same things. And Jesus is such a great example on how to handle grief and loss. Jesus grieved. Jesus got tired. Jesus got frustrated with people. He didn't understand. He had difficulty with how the disciples weren't understanding things at times. And Jesus knew when to get away, even when he had crowds pressing in on him. And God wants to be with us in the midst of it. He wants to draw close to us. He wants to spend time with us. And just because we draw close to him doesn't mean that it takes away what it is that we've lost. It doesn't take away necessarily that pain. But God wants us to be honest with him. He wants us to tell him how we're mad. He wants us to tell him how we don't understand what's going on. And he wants to meet us there. He wants to meet us in the middle of our ugly crying face, mad, yelling in our car when we don't think anybody's around moments. He wants to be there right in the middle of it. And I think that we'll find that if we continue to reach out to him in those moments, he responds.
That's right.
He responds.
That's right. I agree with that. I think God most definitely responds. It may not be in the way in which we hoped, maybe we even dreamed or imagined. I often say that God may not change your circumstance, but what he is a restoration type of father who loves to renew, right, our minds, loves to renew our hearts, and he really will refine our characters or do something within us oftentimes before we see it, you know, externally as well. And so just the prayer and even asking like the right questions, you know what I mean? God, rather than why did you do this? God, what do you want me to learn in the midst of this? And really just partnering with God, as you're saying, Pastor Chuck, and allowing him to take the lead and to be fully dependent on him as we navigate and move forward. You guys, this has just been just a fun conversation for me. I know it's been super insightful. I appreciate you guys and just your wealth of knowledge and wisdom. But, you know, as we close out today, you know, I do believe that there are still some losses, right? Losses of the loved ones, different people that meant something so significant to us that, you know, I believe we really will never truly get over or move on from. Some people are like, man, we're just going to move on from it and keep going, right? Almost act like it didn't happen. That's impossible, right? Sometimes we can't forget the things that we've lost or the people that we've lost. But what God often loves to do in his grace and his mercy is use these moments of powerlessness to draw us closer to and to reveal the character of his heart. And I believe with his leading and in his perfect timing that God can help us create this bridge that almost takes us to a place of beginning again with this new sense of normal. So you guys, Pastor Chuck and Miss Ashley, as we close today, just to the person out there who may be struggling heavily with grief and loss in their own life, the person who is living with the I used to be frame of mind, who's maybe dwelling so much on the past that it's overshadowed the hope for the present and the future, what parting word of hope, encouragement, and motivation would you leave with us today that would remind us that there is a future waiting when we will be once more?
Well, our desire for the process that people go through with the book is that they find hope in the Lord. And that through that and through their grief journey, their loss, that they give God glory, that they bring glory to God through their life, and that then they're able to walk that out to another person, and that then they're able to see that process happen where God gets glory out of the loss, because we have a real enemy who seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what's gonna happen if we don't bring God into the midst. And so in Genesis, Adam and Eve, when they sin, they hid in shame, and grief and loss brings a lot of shame. We feel out of control. We yell when we shouldn't, or we normally wouldn't, and we isolate, and then we feel bad. And so there can be so much shame that comes with loss, but God wants us to draw near to him, and then he will draw near to us, and he will restore us, and then he will get glory through our loss. And so it's not through our perfection that God gets glory. It's through us giving him our heart.
We want to remind people that this is a conversation that's bigger than just them. Yes, it is a loss that we've experienced or you've experienced, but I want to tell you that doing the work and welcoming God into those moments and going through a process of healing and going on that journey, it impacts the legacy that you leave. Mm-hmm. You dealing with your grief, you having those conversations makes an impact on how your kids are going to view grief, how they're going to view loss, how they're going to be resilient, and knowing that it's okay to feel, it's okay to hurt. There is probably somebody in your family tree who didn't process grief in the way that they needed to. And if they would have, the family would have likely been improved. What if somebody wouldn't have withdrawn when they felt hurt and a marriage could have stayed together? What if a kiddo would have felt more loved because dad or mom was more emotionally available after they lost their parent? What if you could do something to make an impact on the way that you leave a legacy? This is a big conversation. Yeah. This is bigger than just us. And I don't say that to put pressure on people. I say that to be hopeful and let you know that you can do something and God can use this in a powerful, powerful way.
Yeah. And what we did is we went to God with our frustrations. We went to God and I'm like, I don't think this is how I'm supposed to be. I feel like isolating. Like, I normally don't do this. What's wrong with me? And then we find, oh, this is what people do. They pull back. It's to protect themselves. It's to protect other people, whatever it is, but it's our own protection, our own defense mechanisms. And we can go to Ephesians 6 and look at what God says. He has an armor that he's given us. We can handle the truth, contrary to what the shows tell us. Right? We can handle the truth, like the truth in the Lord. And sometimes it's a very painful reality that we really would rather look away from. But like you said, even whenever it is the hardest of situations, it is so much better to walk with the Lord than to shake our fist in anger. And God can handle our anger. And if that's what we do, like we shake our fist and like, God, why? Like God can handle that. But let's just at least shake our fist and say, God, why? I'm coming to you for the answer. I'm going to come to your word. I'm going to come to your word whenever I don't see what I want, because sometimes it may not jump off the page because we don't have all the verses memorized to know the ones that we need to read right now. And so that's where the community comes in. And that's our goal, you know, that we're helping people build mental stability so they can be that rock through the Lord for other people. And then again, like if we're all doing that process, then the world is going to be a better place with more glory to God and more healthy people. So
that's so good, you guys. And that's a great reminder to close us out, Miss Ashley, that God can handle our anger, our emotions, our big questions, our wrestling. I think of Genesis 32 when Jacob wrestled with God, right? But it reminds us that the battle was won in the midst of the clinging to God, in the midst of going to him with our adversity, our challenge, our difficulties, whatever that looks like, and knowing that the battle has already been won. You guys, I can't thank you enough for your time. I want to end by asking you guys this. For all of our listeners today, where can they go just to learn more about you guys, all the incredible things you're doing, even to pre-order the new book, I Used to Be?
Mm-hmm. You can do all that on our website. It's just chuckandashley.com. You can get links to our social, pre-order the book, all those things on there. And we're on all the social media platforms. You can just find us through Chuck and Ashley.
I challenge all of our listeners, chuckandashley.com. Go check out all the incredible things they're doing. Pre-order the book. It releases this August. It is going to be an incredibly valuable resource for each and every one of you. Pastor Chuck, Miss Ashley, thank you guys so much just for your time, for your willingness, for the impact you have on countless lives, including my own. We love and appreciate you guys.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
I don't know about you guys, but man, that was such an encouraging episode for my heart. As I've navigated, you know, seasons of grief and loss, seasons of change in my own life, several things that Pastor Chuck and Miss Ashley brought about today really resonated with me. One of them being, you know, this idea and need for community, need to seek and to ask for help, whether that's finding a counselor, a mental health professional, whether that's going to your pastor, whatever that looks like. But understanding that you don't have to fight this fight alone, that we weren't made to fight this fight alone, that it's okay to ask for help. It's not weak. It's not a sign of, you know, weakness whatsoever. It's actually a sign of strength, in my opinion, to be able to be authentic and vulnerable and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, right? I'm going through this and I don't want to white knuckle it anymore. I think of Genesis 32 that I briefly brought up when Jacob was wrestling with God, and that battle truly was one in the clinging to him and understanding that we can be fully dependent on God in the midst of this time, understanding that he is the one that has already overcome the battle. And you guys, what I love about just God's word and how Pastor Chuck encouraged us in it, but how Miss Ashley just equipped us with so many helpful tools today, and also reminding us that we're never alone. I think of Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. When you realize that God is in your midst, that he is with you, that he's not just allowing these negative things to happen to you, but he's actually in the midst of them experiencing the pain and the sorrow alongside of you, it brings about a whole different sense of peace and comfort and confidence in knowing that we do serve a good, good father who, even when we remain faithless, he remains faithful. That's my prayer for you guys today, that as you navigate through these tough seasons, and even as you're praying to God, that you wouldn't be praying only that God would, you know, change your circumstances, but that God would do some refining and that he would do some changing within you to maybe help you have a new perspective, to maybe help you have a renewed spirit or a renewed mind that does have then the energy and the passion and the potential to keep moving forward, to keep fighting back in a healthy way, and to understand that you have what it takes. You have the strength, you have the resurrection power inside of you to fight the good fight of faith. And my prayer today is that you would just be able to surrender and to submit to that, but also to surround yourself with others that will remind you of your worth and your value and your identity in times of crisis, when it feels maybe even as if your identity is being shaken. My friends, remember who you are by first remembering whose you are. You guys, if you're going through a season of grief and loss and you need help, I challenge you guys today to reach out, to ask somebody for help. Find somebody that you can put in your corner, that you can go to and you can process some of these feelings with, whether that's a counselor, whether that's a life coach, whether that's a pastor, just somebody that can come alongside of you and can give you some godly wisdom and discernment that can really help you realize that you're never out of the fight. And as we've been mentioning, you don't have to fight alone. My friends, I challenge you as well as we close up here. Go find chuckandashley.com because they have such incredible resources for you guys. Not just this new book that's, again, releasing in August. I used to be blank, fill in the blank, right? Navigating the small and large losses in life and finding your path forward. Not only is that an incredible resource that they're going to offer that you can pre-order today, but they have so many incredible other things, and they just do such great, impactful kingdom work. So I challenge you guys, get involved with what they're doing. Be invested in them. They're incredible people. And I hope you're able to see that in and throughout today's episode. You guys, as always, we love you. We appreciate you. We're thankful that you spent some time joining us here today. And we look forward to seeing you next week right here on the Built Different Podcast.